chapter 1 this morning, please. Proverbs chapter 1. And as we're able, let's go ahead and stand. And verses 1 through 7 will be our passage this morning. Proverbs chapter number 1, beginning in verse number 1, the Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel, to know wisdom and instruction, to perceive the words of understanding, to receive the instruction of wisdom, justice, judgment, and equity, to give subtlety to the simple, to the young man knowledge and discretion. A wise man will hear and will increase learning, and a man of understanding shall attain unto wise counsels. To understand a proverb and the interpretation, the words of the wise and their dark sayings. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. And let's pray. Father, thank you for your wisdom, for the vast knowledge that you have and the vast ability that you have to use that knowledge to its maximum effectiveness. And thank you, Father, for your kind generosity in extending forth to your people your wisdom. Grant to us an appetite for it. And I pray this in Christ's name. Amen. And you may, of course, be seated. Well, last Sunday, of course, we finished up looking mostly at the life of Jacob. And now for these next few weeks, we will turn our attention to some of the subject matter of Proverbs. We're human beings, and I mentioned in Sunday school, according to Ephesians chapter 2, we are driven by our lusts. Not all of those lusts are horrible. They're not all adulterous, fornicating, thieving desires. But we are filled with desires, things that we'd like. The kind of place we'd like to live, the kind of job we'd like to have, the kind of career field we'd like to undertake, the kind of person we'd like to marry, the kind of lifestyle we'd like to enjoy. We just are filled with many desires. Then there are those things that God wants for us. God wants us to be a holy people, a righteous people, a people who serve Him and worship Him and praise Him. It's really a good word. It's a good Bible word. God wants you to be truly happy. Truly happy. And out of all those desires that God has for us, the one that He highlights as the pinnacle is the attribute of wisdom. In Proverbs 4:7, Solomon tells us that wisdom is the principal thing. The first thing, the primary thing. The only word in the entire book of Proverbs, all 31 chapters, that is used more often than the word wisdom is the word and. Wise, wisdom. And then the third most common word in the book of Proverbs is some variation of the word fool. Fool, foolishness, folly. Solomon explains to us in Proverbs 22:15 that we were not born wise. This, of course, would be his recognition of what the Bible teaches about the sinfulness of human beings. But that what we are instead is foolish by nature. Foolishness is bound in the heart of a child, but the rod of correction driveth it far from him. And when the Bible talks about us being foolish, it is talking about something that Americans highly value: moral, ethical, and behavioral independence. When we trumpet, "Nobody tells me what to do," God puts up the subtitle, "Here's a fool." God does not wish us to remain that way. It does not take anything away from the Lord that his people are wise. And beyond any shadow of a doubt, folks, without any contradiction, what God wants for you is to be skillful in your life. Whether you are, as I am, nearing the end of life, or whether you are, as a number of you are, in the very early stages of your life, God wishes for you to be skillful. And if you'll think about it, any skill, whether it be athletic skill or musical skill or industrial skill or technological skill or mechanical skill, is developed through instruction and practice. Somebody has to teach you, and then you have to use what you have learned. And this, unfortunately, is one of the many steps that so many people in America have just come to have no tolerance for. In order to develop a skill, it requires some willingness to tolerate a degree of boredom. If you're going to be a good piano player, you're going to spend a fair amount of time playing scales. But the reality is that nobody wants to suffer at the hands of the inexperienced. If you went to your doctor and your doctor said, "I don't like the sound of your heart. I think we need to take steps to fix it. I'll do it right now." And you said to your doctor, "Do you have any experience dealing with human hearts?" And he said, "No, but I did watch a YouTube video. And I did stay in a Holiday Inn last night." You would probably want to find somebody with some skill. And so skill in living, folks, like anything else, comes without a shortcut. Now, there are numbers of people, and unfortunately there are numbers of people in independent fundamental Baptist churches who bounce their way from one folly to another throughout the course of their life, but it is not because God wants it that way. And it is not, by the way, because they have been consigned by the sovereign hand of God to that kind of life. Oftentimes it is because they will not receive the instruction and they will not exercise the diligence required to obtain the necessary wisdom to live in this world. God will answer your prayer for wisdom, James 1:5. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, which giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not. But that does not mean he will just begin to pour knowledge into your head. You must be a good student, and you must be one who practices the skill. And it is probably, not exclusively, but probably one of the reasons that God entrusts virtually all leadership in the world, whether it be political leadership, church leadership, or home leadership, to those who are mature, who have the greatest opportunity to hone their skills in living. And so we have an entire book. And it is not just in this book, but this book in particular has wisdom as its subject matter. It is written by King Solomon. It is written to his son Rehoboam. It is very parental in nature. It is a very easy read. It is designed specifically to be so. And well, understand that Proverbs doesn't lend itself very easily to structure and outline. I would say this, that the first 9 chapters of Proverbs are primarily focused upon the attributes of godly character and the desirability to have them. If I may say this without any disrespect to the Scriptures, the first 9 chapters of the book of Proverbs are very heavily motivational in nature. Almost like a motivational commercial in nature, an advertisement. Solomon spends a tremendous amount of time trying to appeal to his son just to find value in this. And that, by the way, is one of the hardest things. Because again, we are not by nature wise. We are by nature fools. And fools trust themselves infinitely. And then chapters 10 through 31 focus primarily upon the activities of wise people and the way that they interact with others. And chapter 1, verses 1 through 7 then constitute kind of the introduction of this book. We get the, right, if you could think of it this way, and lots of parents have used the book of Proverbs in their family devotions with good reason. We're being given kind of an insight into the devotional material of Solomon to his own son, the son who would be king. 2 main points this morning. One will come from the first 6 verses, and the last will come from the 7th verse. First, the goal of wisdom. The goal of wisdom. Being wise is not about becoming rich. It's not about learning how to one-up your competitor in business. It is not about being witty and coming up with a better comeback. Being wisdom is about being skilled in living in a way that is acceptable to the Lord. So the Proverbs of Solomon, chapter 1, verse number 1, the son of David, the king of Israel, to know wisdom and instruction. To know wisdom and instruction. To see them. It's that very familiar Hebrew word, yada. We talked about it recently in the book of Leviticus on Wednesday night. It's a very common word, yada, knowledge. Knowledge. Knowledge has the idea of perception, of discrimination, the ability to tell one thing from another. How do you know when a cantaloupe is good? How do you know if it's a bad cantaloupe? Knowledge, the ability to make a distinguishing point. This is the book of Proverbs is not about picking cantaloupe, but when is somebody giving you good advice? When is somebody giving you bad advice? We're always being given advice, folks. I mean, sir, right, if you have a television or a computer or a tablet, somebody's always giving you advice. You should buy this product. You should take this drug. I am absolutely flabbergasted at the number of multi-billion dollar drug companies who are selling drugs to me, as if I know anything at all about drugs. Tell your doctor you need this drug. Tell your doctor to give you this drug. I don't know anything about drugs. That's why if I knew anything about drugs, I wouldn't need a doctor. When is it good advice? When is it bad advice? Well, here is to know wisdom and to know wisdom and instruction, to perceive, verse number 2, to perceive the words of understanding. If we were Hebrew readers, we would see it like this: to understand understanding. To understand understanding. Not simply to be able to recognize one thing from another, but to appreciate the value in that distinction. This is one of the hardest things to do, folks, is to recognize the value of God's instruction. This is the hard sell with all young people. Here's what God says. I still remember many years ago, I was having a conversation with another guy. We were talking spiritual things. I'm bringing the position of a believer. He's an unbeliever. And there's a guy who has joined us in the conversation. And he's an unbeliever. But he's trying to explain to the other unbeliever the perspective of the Christian. And he's going, no, you don't understand. My grandmother is a Christian, and she thinks those kinds of things are fun. Hard to get people to understand the value of godliness. Proverbs 1:2, to know wisdom and instruction, to perceive the words of understanding, to understand understanding. Verse number 3, to receive the instruction of wisdom. To be able to distinguish it, this is black, this is white, this is right, this is wrong, this is good, this is bad. To recognize there's value in being able to do that, and then taking it for yourself. Embracing it. To receive it. Not just, right, I mean, it's one thing to say, oh, that's good for you, I'm glad for you. But to take it to yourself. To count it as something worth having. And what a basket of values it is, folks, in verse number 3. Wisdom. Skill. To be truly skilled in something. Look, we are impressed with people who are truly skilled in something. It's football season. There are some impressive young men, aren't there? There are some guys who can run fast, who can catch the ball, who can hit hard, who can throw the ball accurately, and they're impressive. There are baseball players that are that way. There are business people who are that way. We are impressed with skillful people. Why don't you become one? Not an athlete, but skilled in godly living. Take it to yourself, wisdom. Here are the attributes. Wisdom, verse number 3. Justice, judgment, equity. These are the kind of things that the politicians are talking about all day long that nobody can ever seem to achieve. These are things that God desires that His people have as part of their daily repertoire. Verse number 4, to give, right? To know, here's what, right? The goal of wisdom is to know something, verse number 2. To understand something, verse number 2. To receive something, verse number 3. To give something, verse number 4. The book of Proverbs is a generous book. It is a book of giving. God wants you to have this. God wants to gift it to you. To give subtlety to the simple, to the young man knowledge and discretion. The simple, and when you read the word simple in your King James Bible, we would call that person naive, young, inexperienced, right? No insult to the young people in the assembly. But the reality is young people tend to be among the naive, the susceptible. You just haven't been burned often enough yet. And when you get burned a couple of times, right, even though you're young, you become kind of suspicious. There are some things that when people say to you, hey, do this or do that, you know, no. I've seen that trick before. To give subtlety to the simple. And that word subtlety has the idea of craftiness, not in a sinful way. But you do not have to be, as a believer, the never-ending victim. That is not required. Always duped. The world is filled with scoundrels who are trying to take advantage of you. You do not have to be gullible all the time. It's not, well, I'm just kind of gullible by nature. Well, God has a fix for that. You don't have to be gullible by nature. He doesn't want you to be gullible by nature. How many parents have said, my child fell in with the wrong crowd? My child fell in with the wrong crowd. God has a fix for that kind of character flaw. And it's right out here, folks. It's public domain. It's not copyrighted. It's not trademarked. It just takes some effort. So again, the goal of wisdom, verse number 2, is to know something, to perceive or to understand something, to receive something, to give something, to get something. A wise man will hear, verse number 5, and will increase learning. He will add to his knowledge base. And a man of understanding shall attain unto wise counsel. In other words, what God wants is for you to be someone who not only develops and cultivates wisdom, but is able to pass it on. To be part of the instructing class of wisdom. To understand, which is the same word, by the way, as perceive in the Hebrew, in verse number 2, to perceive the words of understanding. Verse number 6, to understand a proverb. And their dark sayings, their perplexing questions and riddles. There is, folks, a genuine complexity to life. There are complexity to many of the decisions that we have to make. You notice how often, and it's not, by the way, I'm not trying to take anything away from his divine nature. But do you notice how often when the Pharisees were talking to Jesus, he understood exactly what they were up to? Part of that is the divine nature. Part of that, folks, is he was a very wise man. He was a very wise man. He knew when somebody was trying to pull one over on him, when someone was trying to take advantage of him. He understood that. Here is an entire book plopped in our lap that demonstrates how wise people act and how foolish people act. How wise people think and how foolish people think. And again, it is God's gift to us because God is very generous. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, which giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not. There are things in the Gospels that people asked of Jesus that he rebuked them for asking. Jesus, speak to my brother that he share the inheritance with me. Man, who made thee made me a judge and a ruler? That's not my task. But if you ask for wisdom, you can never ask too often. You can never ask too much. So there is the ground of wisdom, folks, right? There are things that wisdom will do for you that God wants you to have. It will enable you to know something, to understand something, to receive something. It will give you something. You will gain something. You will understand something. It's a good thing to have. Secondly, then, note the ground of wisdom. Who gets this wisdom? Where does it begin? In adult Sunday school, we kind of talked about. Where did sin, where did we get sin? And it began with Adam. God is very clear. Sin in the world began with Adam. Well, where does wisdom begin? Verse number 7. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. So that raises then this question. What is the fear of the Lord? What is the fear of the Lord? Now there is a sense, folks, in which we can simply kind of relate fear of the Lord to believing in Jesus. What does it mean to fear the Lord? Well, what does it mean to believe in Jesus? Let me ask you, if you would, to turn back to the book of Exodus to chapter number 1. And I want just to look at a couple of passages. The goal of wisdom is for you to understand and value God's way of doing things, righteousness, justice, equity, the ground of wisdom is the fear of the Lord. Exodus chapter 1 and verse number 15. And the king of Egypt, not by the way Pharaoh, although that's what he was called, but I think that it is deliberate that he is called here the king of Egypt. The king of Egypt spake to the Hebrew midwives, of which the name of the one was Shiprah and the name of the other Puah. And he said, when you do the office of a midwife to the Hebrew women and see them upon the stools, if it be a son, then ye shall kill him. But if it be a daughter, she shall live. But the midwives, here it is, feared God and did not as the king of Egypt commanded them. And that's why I think he's called here the king, right? Because you got a competition between two kings. You got the king of Egypt giving one set of instructions, and you got the king of the universe giving another. The easy and convenient thing to do is to follow the orders of the king of Egypt. But they feared God and did not as the king of Egypt, but saved the man's children alive. And the king of Egypt called for the midwives and said unto them, why have ye done this thing and have saved the man's children alive? And the midwives said unto Pharaoh, because the Hebrew women are not as the Egyptian women, for they are lively and are delivered up ere the midwives came in unto them. And we have all kinds of conversations about whether they were lying and why they were lying. And we can, you know, what would you say? I don't know. All I know is verse number 20. Therefore God dealt well with the midwives, and the people multiplied and waxed very mighty. And it came to pass, here's the explanation, because the midwives feared God, that he made them houses, which again has the idea of dynasties, not physical dwellings. In a world in which Pharaoh is destroying Hebrew families, they have families. Fear God. Fear God. And my point is simply this. To fear God involves some kind of activity, not just some kind of verbal commentary. I fear the Lord. Just like I believe in Jesus loses a lot of its oomph when the lifestyle doesn't look like you believe in Jesus. The ground of wisdom, fearing the Lord. Exodus chapter 9. Exodus chapter 9 and verse number 19. Send therefore now and gather thy cattle and all that thou hast in the field, for upon every man and beast which shall be found in the field and shall not be brought home, the hail shall come down upon them and they shall die. And they that feared the word of the Lord among the servants of Pharaoh made his servants and his cattle flee into the houses. And he that regardeth not the word of the Lord left his servants and his cattle in the field. And I know it says fear the word, not fear the Lord, but they're the same. And again, right? Activity is being driven by attitude about God. Exodus chapter 14. Exodus 14:30. Thus the Lord saved Israel that day out of the hand of the Egyptians, and Israel saw the Egyptians dead upon the seashore, and Israel saw that great work which the Lord did upon the Egyptians, and the people feared the Lord and believed the Lord and his servant Moses. Then sang Moses and the children of Israel this song. They worshiped the Lord out of fear of the Lord. My point is just simply this, folks. When you find the fear of the Lord in the Old Testament, right, the fear of the Lord is an expression, shorthand expression, for doing something out of obedience or respect to God. There was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job. The man was perfect and upright, one that feared God. How do we know that he feared God? He eschewed evil, turned away from evil. Solomon will write towards the end of his life, Ecclesiastes 12:13, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments. What does it mean to fear God? To do what he says. So back to Proverbs 1:7. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. But fools despise. And again, folks, I repeat this, although you know this, the word despise is not used as we would use it, to hate with bitter contempt. The word despise is used to disrespect or disregard or dismiss as insignificant and unworthy. Right? I mean, if you're sitting at the lunch table eating a cheeseburger with all of the bad stuff in it, and somebody comes along and goes, you shouldn't eat like that, it's going to kill you. And you go, leave me alone. Right? You have despised their instruction. You have dismissed it. You have not counted it worthy of compliance. There is nothing more worthy of our time and effort and energy. There is nothing more worthy of our intellectual pursuits than wisdom, skillful living. And God is our ally. This is something that he wants, that he desires for his people. Here, I will give it to you. If you will look for it, if you will pursue it, if you will work at it, I will hand it over to you in abundance. And you may have it. And throughout the book of Proverbs, every facet of life, God has wisdom for everything, for worship and righteousness and men and women relationships, for the way governments ought to function, for the way children ought to be raised, for the way marriages ought to be viewed. Dozens and dozens of subjects to which God explains to us wise conduct. Wise conduct. One final word. Look over, if you would, just a page or two to Proverbs chapter 3 and verse number 19. One of the many motivational verses about Proverbs. The Lord by wisdom hath founded the earth. The Lord by wisdom has founded the earth. By understanding he hath established the heavens. By his knowledge the depths are broken up and the clouds drop down the dew. How important is wisdom? Where does it fit on the scale? Well, look at creation. Apart from those who are persuaded it magically happened by accident. Right? It is the demonstration not only of the superior ability of God, it is a demonstration of his wisdom, his skill in using his knowledge effectively. So, dear saint, wisdom is yours for the work. Let's pray. Father,